Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Canadian Harvard Aircraft Association's 30th anniversary celebrations, and we are delighted today to have two of the founding fathers of the Harvard Association, Len Fallowfield on the left and Bob Hewitt on the right. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure.
This is a fantastic day. I mean, whoever would have thought when the organization was founded 30 years ago that we would be here today. Bob, tell us how it all began. I mean, you as an ex-RCAF pilot, obviously you still wanted to maintain interest in aviation beyond your Air Force career.
Well, first of all, it's quite a pleasure to be here. And you can take that literally. Years are moving on, and so is CHA. And it's great. I knew that you would be talking to me, and I was thinking the last week what direction we should go, and the way you suggested is exactly what I thought, that we'd talk about the how will CHA got going. I was a member of the Woodstock Flying Club, but I served in the RCAF. And when I came out, I looked at myself as somewhat of a hero that I had flown to Harvard. And is my time up yet?
No. We got lots of time.
Norm and I always kidded about someday having a Harvard, and was prompted by the fact that I had it in my logbook. And he knew of a Harvard down near Norwich that was stored in a barn. Belonged to Ray Craven, who was an AME at Norwich. And every year when he took his 172 down to Norwich for its annual, he'd bug Ray, "What are you doing with that Harvard?" And Ray would say, "Well, what's it matter to you? You can't fly one." Anyway, the fourth year that Norm got on his back, he said, "Well, I've been thinking about it. And Norm made a deal with him that day that Ray would get it out of the barn, put it all together, CFA it for $4,100. Well, we went down to see it. Norm had seen it, but he took me down to see it in the barn. And it was covered head to toe with the proverbial chicken whatever. And I never thought that thing could be put back together. Well, Ray went to work on it, and as it became close to being ready, Norm and I talked about, well, we'll just go and get it. I've flown Harvards, you know, no problem. So we planned to go one Tuesday afternoon, and I went over to his shop. We were going to barrel down and get this Harvard when I heard the damn thing coming in. He had gone down himself, checked himself out, and brought that airplane back. But he was too chicken to raise the gear. So he brought it all the way back with the gear down. And so the Harvards were born at Woodstock.
Now, the Norm that you mentioned is Norm Beckham, who we lost just a couple of years ago. And he, with you two gentlemen, founded the association. We referred to him as Mr. Harvard because he did some beautiful aerobatics in his own Harvard aircraft. And we pay tribute to him as well as you two gentlemen today. So that's how the association was born, again, as a handful of the three of you, and others soon came on board too, Leonard.
True enough. I have to go back just a little bit if I can. Norm and Bob invited me to go and look at a Harvard MTX, which happens to be out in the barn here, King City. And before I come away from there, they just turned to me and they said, "Would you like to be a part of this?" And I didn't have a license at all, never dreamt that I could fly an airplane. Anyhow, long story short, they allowed me to get in with the team. And I remember that day that Stan Castle brought it home to Woodstock. It was late in the fall. And he did an 8-point roll kind of between the flagpole and the the Woodstock Flying Club. And I That got me enthused real good. I got my license the next year. That's the license part.
Yeah. Now, if we can go back just a minute to when Norm brought the aircraft to Woodstock. Bob, you as a veteran pilot, you'd flown Harvard, you'd flown the T-Birds, and Norm had never flown a Harvard. Is that correct?
So that is correct.
And what did you think of that when he landed that aircraft?
Well, knowing Norm didn't surprise me one damn bit.
Now, he obviously eventually had to get officially checked out on the aircraft.
Never did.
Well, we learn something every day. So there was the first, that was the first Harvard, correct?
Yeah. Yes, that was the first one.
Where did we go from there? Because obviously, not to fast forward, but then we started acquiring as an association. The association was formed, and the acquisitions began.
Well, we had a friend, Stan Fitzner, lived down Simcoe Way, who also had a Harvard, which is NDB. And he would come up and join us for formation work, because the Hamilton boys wouldn't have anything to do with them. And so that's how we got introduced to NDB. And when Stan passed away, we were the first one on his list to be given the opportunity to buy it. And we did. So that was number three, wasn't it, Len? That was number three. So MTX was number two.
And some of the other individuals who were at the ground level, aside from yourselves and Norm, other individuals such as Dave Timms, who we chatted with yesterday, who are some of the others that you'd include in that original cast, so to speak?
This is yours, Leonard. My mind don't go back that far.
Hey, I'm right behind you there. Ursula and Walter Stafford.
Ursula Pell and Walter Stafford.
The Yale, which we have since obtained from him and restored. Anyhow, there was quite a group of folks when Bob decided, hey, we need to do more than, maybe I can back up just a little bit if I can. For 2 years, anyhow, Bob invited the Woodstock, what they call themselves, the Navy Club? Cadets.
That's right, they were an offshoot of the Navy Club.
To come out, learn how to grease and oil a Harvard, fuel it, learn, first of all, how to drive the tow tractor. And this was Ursula Shawn, by gosh, she learned how to do it. And, that was kind of really the start of Bob's interest in getting, we just weren't using the Harvards enough, and he didn't like that. Let's get some action going. That's when Chaw was initiated.
And that's when it was officially born on paperwork, and it was an association and a registered charity not-for-profit association.
That's how it ended up a year. It took a year to get there, and it's all documented beautifully on the board there.
It is, yes.
And we got to get a hold of Sandra and get that thing into a book and somehow flog her.
Well, she's got it all electronic, so I think that we're in pretty good shape there. The association started to grow, and I still run into people who have very low numbers. For example, who was the individual? Al Mulder was here yesterday, and I think he was number one. Was he not? Is Pat? Oh, 18. But I thought there was some mention of number one. Okay. Sorry, Dave Wilton was number
one. That's right.
Yes.
And then his brother.
His brother Ron. Yes. Did you anticipate how fast the association would grow, and how did the word spread about it?
Terry, I don't think that fast. It was a necessity for us to keep the Harvards flying, and that someday, 30 years later, it would be what it is. I can't say I conceived that, no.
No. Leonard?
But he did wondered how quickly it grew. It grew so fast that we didn't have enough room in the Woodstock Flying Club to hold a meeting. And then that comes to this building here that become available. Bob, carry on.
Construction man, I'm trying to think of his name, had his...
Gilby.
Gilvasi, and he had his company airplane in here. And he made it known that he would sell the hangar. I don't know how it all come about, but we put it together. Yeah, right here.
The hangar we're in right now.
And
yes.
that was really the kickstart for the Harbor Association, because it couldn't grow anywhere on the grass strip back in Woodstock.
Right. And so we acquired as an association more aircraft. We got more people involved. I'd like each of you to speak to, because I know firsthand you've been very involved both financially and through sweat equity over the years. You've got a lot invested in this association. You must take great pride in what is where we are today, 30 years later.
Yeah, Bob, he's not saying much, but he's stood behind it. Can you say 200%? It was more than 100%. And invited everybody in that was interested and get busy with it, and let's make it go. And he did.
Well, planes and hangars are material things. It's the people.
Yeah, and you too, you know, you've got to be very proud of where we've come, because as I've said repeatedly to on the sound system at our various air shows and so forth, it's not all about planes, it's not all about pilots and mechanics, it's about the camaraderie and the activity, the fellowship, the pride that you take, not only pride in ownership, but the pride you take in sharing the message of why we do what we do. And, you know, and getting people involved and sharing the message and paying tribute to those who have served, who are serving, and those, obviously, who made the ultimate sacrifice. And we're very proud of where we've come today. Bob, you spoke to that a moment ago, but 30 years later, did you envision that we would have an association this large that would be this active and have the equity that we do, in the sense that we've got buildings and aircraft? Leonard?
Well, hey, when it gets to finances, I let that go to Bob.
not Isla?
Well, yeah, she was just a bookie.
Oh, yes. A very, 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 very good one, though, too.
And that was very important.
Yeah.
But I did want to mention one guy that I can't believe how old he was at the time. Jack Stevens.
Yes.
Remember him? He used to fly all this stuff. He was in the war. And when he became available to check out other pilots. Oh, man, that guy just lost 10 years of oldness. He was a young kid again.
And, Bob, you as being an Air Force veteran, you flew the Harvard post-career within the association for a good number of years, and obviously got Leonard involved. You flew various air shows and so forth. In any particular memories that stand out, or air shows that stand out as extra special?
The ones at home at Woodstock were the most impressive, or the ones that stay in my mind. But there is definitely a thought or a memory that comes to my mind when you ask me that. And we were coming home from Geneseo, four of us, flying very loose formation, just chugging along, boring. And I said to myself, what are you doing up here? Are you really enjoying this? And that was the last landing I made.
And Leonard, you flew, how many years did you actually fly the Harvard?
Well, Bob and Norm persisted and guided me into, I got my license in fall of October of 76. And 77, I got my private pilot license. And Norm had a PA-12, I think it was, up for sale, and he gave me the key for it and says, you got to get some tail dragger time, which I got enough until it was sold. And the following year, they guided me along and got me going. And I think the year after that, by that time, they had encouraged me to get into formation. And 9 years out of 10, the next 10, 9 years, I flew to Oshkosh, and to join into the formations over there. And one thing I'd like to mention, and I'm sure maybe Bob mentioned it, but we had set of rules and guidelines for our formation here in Woodstock. So did each other organization around the And it was the T-34 group that realized, hey, we got to get this act together to make it safer at Oshkosh, which they did, and it sure took a lot of the nerve-wracking wonderment out of how's this all going to come together when you get over to Oshkosh. Anyhow, I've been so blessed to have a lot of years. I've had my ups and downs, and anyhow, I look back, and it was wonderful. And now, with all the people that are gathering and joining in, I just can't believe it.
Well, it's a tribute to you, gentlemen, and to Norm. And let's talk about Norm for a moment. He's certainly not here in body, but he's certainly with us here in spirit. And Mr. Harvard, as he became known, well, let's hear a little bit about Norm. He was a wonderful ambassador for the Harvard Association, a very talented pilot, even though you said he never officially got checked out. But we won't go there. Bob?
Well, when we got when we sort of mastered our first airplane, he and I, he got wind of another one being for sale up in Toronto. And he said, can you believe it? There's another one of these things on the market. And I said, well, what are you thinking? What would we want that for? He said, well, the only thing better than a Harvard is two Harvards.
And it kind of grew from there. Leonard?
Yeah, where did that story go? I heard nothing better than two, three, four, a dozen. I think that was Bob and Norm both.
Norm was a very laid-back fellow. Nothing ever seemed to bother him. And it didn't matter what kind of weather we got in. Norm was cool. He was our leader. And on the way over to Oshkosh one year, we got into some inclement weather over Michigan. And he was taking us down and down, and we were still flying close because we were right in the clag. And I'd glance at the altimeter and and I thought, boy, oh boy, you know, we're getting down there 200 feet. That's pretty damn low. And all of a sudden, Norm said, pull up a little bit, Bob. And he started up. Norm had the habit of setting his altimeter at zero. And he had forgotten how close we were to the ground. But when he said, pull up, I just saw the ripple on the water. And I thought it was two guys behind me. And I was praying they didn't see that.
I'm sure there's many other stories there that we could share. Maybe some of them we can't share, but we'll keep those tucked in the back pocket. Norm was a fantastic pilot, as I said, and a great ambassador for the Harvard Association, very dear friend of yours. And I think it's just wonderful that both his son and your son, Bob, are carrying on the tradition. Dave Hewitt and Kent Beckham. Are part of the Harvard aerobatic team, which they founded along with Pete Spence and have since added a fourth. I think that's fantastic. And you must be proud, Bob, and you as well, Leonard. They're like adoptive sons of yours.
Yes, that's for sure. And in fact, the very first plane they got, Kent Beckham flies it. The third plane they got, Dave flies it. And they've worked on those planes just as the mechanics work on planes around here until they're just beautiful shape. And, of course, Pete, he's an old, followed his father's footsteps and has his airplane in remarkable condition. And, it's wonderful what they've done. And all too soon we find we're getting old and we can't back it up.
The boys in the chat team are very, very regimented, very highly disciplined. It's incredible. And there's no doubt about it, when they got in, started into it, and when I was part of the formation flying too, I realized that we've got to have absolute discipline. And I'm so glad that some of that is brushed off on all the Harvard flying formation flying we're doing. That discipline is life-saving.
Oh, Oh, but by all means. I should mention, too, if anybody has any questions for these gentlemen, please holler it out here as we continue chatting. The fact that the association has so many volunteers, I mean, we're all volunteers aside from Kerry, who does a fantastic job as our AME, and if he didn't have anything to do, if he won the lottery, I'm sure he'd do it for free as well. But how does it sit with you, gentlemen, the fact that we have so many active volunteers in the association?
Humbling.
And again, that's testament to what you have founded and what CHA has become. Do you have any sort of message for individuals, maybe especially the younger generation, who are thinking about getting involved in aviation in some aspect, whether it be a pilot or a mechanic or support service of some sort?
Flying today is so different than flying by the ass of your pants that we did. Aviation today is incredibly high technology, and of course it's an incredible future for anyone who wants to get into it. What I enjoyed about flying at my age, in my days, was that when I moved the joystick, I knew the pulley that was under it, and one on the right and one on the left, and the one that went into the wing, and how it was cantilevered on the aileron. And, you know, to sit now, even in my car, with that silly damn screen up there telling me everything, it just doesn't register. I find it hard to... I like to get on my old riding lawnmower because I know how it works. You know.
Leonard, it's changed even since you started flying.
Yeah, and I can't keep up to the latest. I think of my grandson who took a four-year training down Arizona. His desire is to haul people around, and he did the 4 years and three. First place they sent him to after he got it going with the lines was up at Alaska, and he's fallen in love with it, so that now if he gets 4 or 5 days off, he disappears up to Alaska, because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of airplanes up there, a lot of old steam engine gauges that have to be, or don't have to be, but choose to go to the glass, and he knows that stuff like, I can't believe it. Well, look at any of the kids and their computers. I can't even learn how to run one of those at my age, but they've got it under control, and hey, they're way ahead of us.
Again, I go back to the fact that here we are 30 years later, and do you see anything that you might have done differently, I guess, or that you would have liked to have seen CHA done differently over the years?
Well, there was an incident that I wished I could have avoided or should have avoided. One day I had my 3-year-old son over at the flying club, and I don't know what possessed me, but I thought, I need to get to Harvard up and just go for a ride. Well, I strapped him in the harness in front of me in the cockpit, and it was either early winter or late winter, but it was freezing. And I no sooner got airborne and was on the downwind, I wasn't going to particularly do anything, when she started to sputter and bang. And I eased back on the throttle and tried to push it ahead again, and it just kept backfiring, and it wouldn't take it. I ended up at about 1,300 RPM, but I was fortunately on the downwind. And so I checked the harness that Rob was in tight and lowered the gear and was hidden in. But the damn gear down light didn't come on. And I thought, wow, you know, the engine's missing. I can't get any power. I got my son asleep by now on my lap. Somebody better be watching out for me. I came around on the left circuit and onto the grass strip, which is not the strip we have now. It was one more to the north. And I thought, wow, the fingers told me that the gear was down, but the lights didn't come on. So I thought, I'm going down. You know, if I have to pre-track the gear, I got my son on my lap here, I'm going down. So, but I did a nice landing, and it rolled out really good. And I held my hand on the power push just to get all the pressure on that cylinder I could. And I thought, as soon as it stops, I'm shutting it down. But the sucker kept rolling and started over the crest of the hill and kept on slowly rolling, slowly rolling. And then one wing started going down. Finally, it went down. I turned to the left, and there I sat. One of the one cylinder had absolutely buckled, bent 90 degrees. Anyway, we got a tractor out, jacked her all up, took the cylinder off. I had a machine shop, and we made a new one. And to my knowledge, that cylinder is still in that airplane today.
And someone was
you didn't
watching.
Hear it from me.
So, and someone was watching over you, I dare say. All of the air shows that you went to in the years after CHAW was formed, is there Oshkosh obviously being one of the largest? Is there any particular show that stands out as your favorite or memorable for some reason or other?
I think the involvement of formation flying. I was on a high all the time, practicing formation flying and trying to better it myself. Of course, like you say, Oshkosh, they're all there, everybody. I'm sure that's available to anybody today, but I don't know as though there's that many groups that do go over to Oshkosh. For instance, here, they're too busy to go fly to Oshkosh and the money. Pat knows what it's all about. He's been there quite a few times, but we were really, really lucky to be able to, I think Bob lit the spark, Norm fanned it, and it's wonderful how it's come about.
Well,
anybody else can do it if they want to put their time to it also.
I want you to know that yesterday, you gentlemen couldn't join us yesterday, but we had a 90-year-old veteran here by the name of Russ Mosley from Midland, who was an instructor during the war from 42 until 45 in, among other places, Dunville. Unfortunately, he got to Dunville after Charlie Fox had already left to go overseas. But we had a good chat with Russ, and we got him up into Harvard. And unfortunately, and he had a fantastic time. The only unfortunate part of that is before we got him up for a ride, we had checked his logbook. And lo and behold, he flew 3222. And just as we realized that, Kent was about to depart with MKA. And I ran up to Kent. I said, Kent, is there any chance you're coming back here after your run? Because they were going to practice with the aerobatic team. He said, no, I'm going to be going back to Woodstock, but I might come back tomorrow, depending on the weather. I said, oh, okay, because we have a gentleman here we just discovered, 90 years old, flew 3222 in, do you recall where it was he flew it? It was in Dunville. In Trenton, pardon me, that's right. And he had a fantastic flight. I'm sure he's still grinning today, and it's to a tribute to you gentlemen and that he was able to do that 70 years later, fly that aircraft, or fly in a Harvard again.
That's beautiful.
And really, that's what it's all about, Leonard.
Yeah, you know, as we talk, things keep springing up, but I deem a flight to Ottawa invited to fly over the Parliament buildings, and we had four instructors in the back seats. Tom Hawkins, Charlie Fox was in mine. There was a guy here only a week or two ago.
Glenn Rawson.
Glenn was the third one, and there's a number four, the name's not coming to me. But
Jack Stevens, was it Jack?
No, it wasn't. Anyhow, I deemed that a great honor.
Well, gentlemen, on behalf of the Harvard Association, all of the volunteers involved over the 30 years and beyond, I want to thank you and salute you for what you have created and what the association has become. Thanks to you.
You're very kind, very kind.